We are live. This is the Mantastic Experience. I am Mr. GP. I'm here to give you your legal advice and help you get your game correct in all types of ways, from money, clothes, to sense, to everything. But I don't come alone. The Mantastic Experience, we give you a little bit of everything. So first, Professor G, now tell them what you do.
Professor G in the house, here to bring you an educational experience. I'm going to teach you how to balance your body, mind, and soul. Going to help you get into a good relationship, find somebody who loves you as well as hopefully you love them. But we're going to get back to that later.
C-Squared, tell them what you do.
C-Squared, your money coach, your money expert, basically got a finance background.
Professor G, tell the people, how do you have a healthy relationship?
So first thing you have to do in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to work on yourself. If you're damaged, it's going to be very hard for you to have a healthy relationship. Now, you can have a healthy relationship if you're damaged, but you have to be willing to understand what's damaged about you. Now, why is it important to have a healthy relationship? Well, first thing I'm going to tell you, you are not alone. Even though many people think they're alone and they do a lot of things nowadays for themselves. So it's a very selfish society, but you are a link in the chain of life. We have to keep life going. And I'm gonna tell you something, for as much as you think that right now you good, hey, we're gonna be older a lot longer than we will be younger.
C-Square, what you get for us?
Look, I like everything that Professor G just said. At the end of the day though, there's one thing I'm a challenge, right? So one thing I would say is, I agree with everything you said up to the point where you said, even if you're not healthy or well, in a good space, that you can still have a healthy relationship. And I want to challenge you there, because I think you at least have to be determined to work on yourself, determined to getting better, determined to doing that hard work. Because if you're just like, hey, I'm damaged, I had a tough upbringing, had a couple of bad relationships, whatever the case may be, but this is me, this is what you're going to get, deal with it, I just don't think that's going to work, man. That's where I'm coming from.
No, I hear you. And I would never tell someone to go into a relationship like that, like, hey, I'm damaged, just deal with it. No, what I'm saying is that sometimes you're damaged and you can't rightly fix yourself by yourself. Right. So I've been there. You know, I'm still a work in progress. And this is why I send love out to my wife. That's so, you know, we still cool right there. Send love out to my wife, because she worked on me and she was patient with me. I used to have a real bad temper.
How about you, Mr. GP? Where are we coming from?
I think one very important aspect of this is perspective. I think having that partner gives you a better perspective, because I do believe that you have to work on yourself, yes. And you have to get into a healthy mindset. But a lot of times, having that other person there can drive you. You know, it's easy to get into a rut. It's easy to kind of just fall into the day by day. But when you have that other person, you've got kids, you know, you got to do a little bit better. That can give you that little bit extra drive to keep you going.
Women help keep men alive. You know, I don't want to go too far off to the side, but this is why it's important to have a woman, not just for sex and for company and for food. Even though those things sound really good, but women, when they nag you, or should I say when they show their concern, they might nag you about not feeling good and get you to the doctor when you really need to go. Because men die much earlier than women, because women see their doctors way more than men. So birth rates right now are down around the world. People are not having sex. People are not having babies like that. I would not encourage you to drink, but if you are socializing and having healthy relationships and you don't need liquor, that's fine. But if you're like not drinking and you're not socializing, you're not having healthy relationships, you're not putting yourself in a position where you can roll the dice and get into that relationship that you need, that's an issue. That's an issue.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that, because I think that's a big point. You got to be willing to put yourself out there. That's really what this is. You know, you're going to get rejected. You probably get rejected a lot more than you get accepted. You only need that one acceptance, though. So you got to put yourself out there. The worst thing a person can tell you is no. If they go past no, we can put them in their place, but that's another pod for another day.
Everyone's weirded out because of technology. You're so used to pushing the buttons. So then now if someone walks up and talks to you, you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? Why am I smelling your breath? You're like a real person. Or if you call somebody, hey, what up? That, oh my God, I can hear your voice. I don't have time to think of what I'm going to say and text it to you. This is too much pressure. Like, this is people nowadays.
Right.
That's got to stop. That's got to change. I'm going to suggest people, again, plain and simple, get out. Okay. It doesn't have to be a club, because I know people, I don't like clubs. It's not my thing. If you do, do it. But if you don't, you can go to Dave and Buster's and meet somebody. So you could play your video games and meet somebody. You say, hey, I got a free control stick. Would you like to hold my joystick?
Wow.
You got it. Let's go back. Go back to Mr. GP.
That almost slipped by me there.
Talking about video games, bro.
C-Square, please. Please save my pocket.
So, you know, I got some big theories about this, truth be told, right? My theory is you gotta, you know, again, I'm a math guy, right? I'm a finance guy. So I gotta play with the probabilities. You know what I'm saying? So when you're in school, whether it is, you know, high school, which is pretty young, but let's say if you go on to college or you go on to, you know, get a graduate degree, you gotta understand, you gotta appreciate you're probably around a higher concentration of the opposite sex or the same sex, regardless of your persuasion, than you will ever be in your life. So at some point in time, you got to start thinking, is there somebody around here that could potentially be that one? And I think this, to your point, right, Professor G, if everyone's just kind of like doing their own thing, I'm living my own life, I'll get to having kids and a family later in life, they don't maybe realize that this window of time where you're around so many people is actually your highest probability opportunity to find somebody in that network. So that's number one.
That women are on the clock, and they have a biological clock. You know, we will talk more about that. So women, their biological clock is up until about 30, realistically. Once you hit 30, your reproductive capability starts to decline. And you might say, well, that's a woman. I'm a guy. I don't have to worry about that. But back to what C Squared was saying, like, guys, as you get older, you might not be around 20, 30 friends as you're working hard, taking care of everything. So right now, when you're in college, when you're young, you're in that life, you're interacting with people. This is where you need to keep your eye out for that quiet, beautiful lady in the corner that you could come wrap your warm, sweaty arm around. And talk to them with your possibly minted breath.
We're gonna deal with your sweatiness a little bit later in another segment.
Saying if you're in a club. I'm not saying always fresh to death.
The odorant is your friend. But fellas, I want to give y'all a secret. Y'all listening?
Yep.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Hit me.
Here's a secret. Here's a secret for y'all. There's a lot of women that's waiting to be talked to. The right way. You know what I mean? If you're in a classroom, you're at work, whatever, be careful at work. Don't get hit with any sexual harassment. But if you're in a classroom, you know somebody. Like, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. Hey, let's go grab lunch. There's a little something. You know, you don't got to start big. Everybody thinks you got to, you know, start with the grand trip and everything. Nah, you can do simple stuff and work your way. Yeah, you got to have your gift to gab. Got to be able to talk to them. And you can move from there. Who would like to expound on this?
You know what? I'm going to call a challenge on this one real quick. And I think you're going to have something for me here, Professor G. So give me a sec. Because the some of the lines you were just dropping right there, Mr. GP, they were kind of what I would call, and I'm one of them, so no judgment, nice guy lines. Sometimes, and I'm going to throw this out there. It's too big of a topic for us to hit In this couple minutes we got right now. We may have to show.
You said you're a nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy, okay. Nice guy, right? Okay. And I was definitely like a much nicer guy even when I was younger, right? So my point is,
nice guy / appetizer. Continue.
Boom. but the women in their 20s, at least back in the day when I was in my 20s, weren't about the nice guy. So to your point, Mr. GP. If I was approaching somebody, hey, you know, would you like to grab lunch, blah, blah, blah. The vibe that I was giving off or the vibe that I was getting back in return was like, nah, I'm good, right? And then you see that same person walking around with somebody and you're kind of like, wow, you're like, that person's got a crazy reputation, done dogged a couple women out, and here you are trying to give them a chance And then, you know, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years down the line, they get dogged out. They're right there on the side of the road like the rest of them. And you just sat there and watched the whole thing play out as a nice guy. So I don't know if nice guy versus bad guy is part of today's topic, if we can weave that in or not. But I do think we got to bring that back.
That plays big time. If you're trying to meet somebody, whether you're a nice guy or whether you're, you know, that bad boy. But the world is a stage. And I hate to tell you, at some point you have to get your acting on. That's not quite what I would tell you. However, but you don't see anybody's true face when you first meet them. So you're showing them a character. So the question becomes, what kind of character do you want to show them? Do you want to just show them, you know, a boring, simple character? Or do you want to show them an exciting character who may later turn out to be a very responsible, dependable person to their surprise?
But I think one thing that's important to remember, nice guy, not stupid guy. That's key. And that's key for a lot of relationships. That's because, you know, we talk about trying to get in a relationship, trying to meet people. Don't be stupid. So we're going to throw it to Miss Minga, our female expert out here. Miss Minga, tell the people who you are.
My name is Minga Jolie. I am a single mother of two, and I am divorced for 2.5 years.
So, Miss Minga, so you relatively back into the game since you're divorced. How do you view how men approach you these days?
I could be honest with you, it's entirely different from what I am accustomed to.
Are you saying that men are approaching you strictly for sex?
Possibly.
So how do you deal with that? Like, when... So you just got your matrix on. You
evasion tactics.
Look like you're doing the little Kim, the little Kim wave girl over there.
Where do you meet most men at this point?
You know what? I actually don't meet. Maybe just online. I meet guys online.
How's that experience for you? As a young lady?
I'm still saying no bueno, doctor.
Have you been on any dates? Have you anything?
No dates.
Walk us through the internet dating thing. How does this process work?
So for me, my friend who actually found a boyfriend, introduced me to a website, and I just look, I don't expect anything. I just scroll through and then I have conversations with people online. So it's okay, hey, how you doing? Where you live? But nothing has transpired into anything serious.
Why do you think those conversations are not leading to at least some dates? What's wrong in the conversation?
I think sometimes to really get to know someone or to try to get to know someone requires a conversation like we're having right now, right?
Things and that's not happening online.
Maybe the reason why, or sometimes you don't have the time. So they may text you or you may text them, but you don't have the time to see. And so it's weeks later, you see they said, oh, how were you? And then, oh, how are you? And they already looked on to something else. So it's in terms of having the time to actually look at those messages.
Do any guys approach you on the street or in a store or anything
No. Nope.
Guys are too scared. You guys get too scared because I tell you, I hate to sound like an old head. If I take it back to the 90s, it was very common to see people walking up to girls, getting phone numbers, even inviting girls into their car. Like, hey, babe, I'm going to give you a ride wherever you're going. And girls would jump into the cars. They were called car hoppers at the time. Now, just a person talking to you, you're going to be so weirded out. A lot of people are so paranoid because the media tells you everybody's crazy. You know, I wouldn't, not that I'm advising you to just jump into a random person car, but I think a lot of people are very hesitant. But back to you, Ms. Minga, do you think this is not a priority for you right now? That's why you don't have time?
That's probably one thing. And I spoke to my girlfriend of 20 years, and she said she met somebody, right? What was she at a parking lot or something like that? And the guy just gave her a flyer and then said, you want to come to my party? So she goes, you just hit on girls in the parking lot? And they just started laughing. So since then, They literally just like, you know, had a good conversation. So I think like it just didn't work for me. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work for other people. And since then, and she has been single for like 2 years. She's met a guy who has a business. He owns homes, properties. She owns properties too, and it just so happens that they're so in sync with each other.
So, Ms. Minga, just to get a better understanding of this internet world and the internet dating world, what's the longest you've talked to somebody online so far?
In terms of quality, I couldn't even tell you. It's like it's no quality, but just like give you a length. I could say for me, for the most part, I could say maybe 6 months, 6 months, but it's not like of quality.
Off and on.
Like 6 months on and off. So
Yeah,
what
on and
happened in
on.
that 6 months? What happened in that?
It was just more like, okay, can I come see you? So when I felt like it wasn't serious, they blocked me.
They blocked you.
Man.
So what was it? It was just offers to hook up and have
There you
sex?
go. There you go.
Not,
Okay.
no, hey, let's go grab some coffee.
There you go.
None of that.
None of that. So I was like, you know, apprehensive. They just blocked me.
So I have to ask this, and you don't have to say the name of the website, but are you using a free dating website or paid dating website?
It's a free, it's the Facebook one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
All right.
let me ask a question. Because I think, we always talk about you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but I think at the
Yes,
end of the
no, you
day,
shouldn't.
everybody does judge the book initially by the cover. So when you talk about how you set up a profile online, anything that you like have you like did you were you strategic about it in any way, or did you just kind of like pop up a picture and write a little blurb and just say, hey, let me let it run, I'm just gonna be me?
Just a blurb about who I am and what I'm passionate about. Nothing like too over the top.
Right. And do you feel like you put up one of your sexier pictures?
No,
Okay.
maybe no, that's not true. Maybe some, a little, not too like too much though. Not
Maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit.
Okay,
Just a little bit,
a
not too
little
over the top. Just
sexy.
a little. I
Yeah,
would say a
you
little.
gave him a little shoulder, Miss Minga.
Not too
But
much.
kind of to see Square's point, I see where he's going, because when you're doing this online, a lot of it is going to be about what looks, what pops you quick, not in a bad way, you know what I'm saying. So like, what's on a profile? Like, what's on an average profile? Like, are we just talking about a picture? Are we talking about careers? Like, what do you get to see in a profile?
You have high school diploma, I skip.
Nice. That's a fact.
Okay.
You want a college man.
So what else are the red flags that you just immediately like
Skip,
pass?
skip, 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 skip.
Yeah.
If you're just saying you want to have a good time, I just skip.
Or guys like, hey, I just want to have a good time.
Some of them do, most of them don't, but some of them do say they just want to have a good time, like something just casual. So I just skip. High school diploma, skip. If you can't tell me what you do for a living, I skip.
All right, so
Okay.
let's say you see a profile and it's a guy, no shirt on, occupation makes
Yeah,
dollars.
I skip.
Okay. So
Keep
you
your
see a
shirt
guy
on,
with a
fellas. Wait. Let me dig. I'm just gonna double tap on that one real quick.
No, why do you want to have your shirt on?
No, well, okay, I'm just
I'm with
saying,
shirt
like,
off.
I'm just curious now, right? But if the no shirt dude is ripped, like looks like they work out a good amount, you may not click on it to say, hey, I'm interested, but do you dwell a little bit just to check them out?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to know how much honesty we're putting out in this
Yes.
podcast. All right,
Yes.
so now we're going back to it. So
Yes, I do. And sometimes
we
I think
got.
sometimes someone like that, they just want to promote their own business too. So they'll just like show themselves or whatever have you.
You need to talk to 10 people to get four responses. Out of those four responses, if two are serious responses or serious people you can actually talk to, you're batting at a 50% ratio in the MLB. That's 500. That means you're an amazing batter. So the filtering process is something a lot of people get frustrated with, but it's something you got to do to get down to that right person. Are you giving the filtering process a chance?
That's an excellent question. I think I have. I'm getting at the beginning, you're so like, oh wow, this is fun. And then you're like, oh, bum, 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 bum. So
All right, so what's the
I'm not saying that there's nothing good out there or I'm the best thing. I'm just saying you just don't have the time.
have you met anybody or have had anybody try to pick you up outside, or not outside, but just in real life?
Yes, I mean, as of recently, it's not on the website. So I went and I bought my son some clothes, right? Some clothes. And
Gotta
I
get
went
that.
over at some place and the guy was like, yeah, I want to take you out to get Moroccan food. So I have a date on Sunday to get Moroccan food.
Okay.
There you go. There
Right?
you
Yeah.
go.
So
So you got a date just
what
without the
about his
website.
approach made you say, you know what, let me give this dude a shot?
When he saw that I love my son, he goes, oh, I have a son this age too. And then I said, oh, my son has a this average. He goes, oh, my son has that average. So I think we both love our son. And then he goes, what about your son's father? I'm like, oh, I'm single. And then he's I'm single. And then that was that. I
So
was like,
it was the common ground, right? Both have children, both love your children, both divorced, and then that common bond is what then
yeah.
he went for it, right? Then he was like,
Went
hey,
for it.
we should go for some Moroccan food. And you were like, you know what? Okay.
And that was so different. I could be honest with you. That's like, I can't remember the last time someone said, okay, let's go out to eat. And I was like, okay, that's amazing to me. And I like Moroccan food. I had Moroccan food years ago, but I remember that it was good.
How's this dude look, though? How's he look?
Don't
Right, we
praise him
won't let
too
him
much.
see.
Okay,
We won't praise him too let him
much.
see this
And
video.
yo, you left her speechless. You look that good, homie. Damn.
He's
Okay, so but
okay.
that was it so basically, with all what you're saying also was that it wasn't that wasn't your priority. Is that
Was
fair?
not my priority.
Amen. That's okay.
In the dating world, how important is the finance part of this?
Finances are always something that you take into in consideration that is important, but I don't feel that it's everything. And I can say this to say, in terms of my own personal experiences, I have actually met someone on that dating website that we talked about, that I just felt like was superficial, was a doctor. And which is, I'm like, oh, let's talk on video. And there was no substance. Like, oh, what did you eat today? Oh,
Wait,
how
let me
was you?
jump in. Let me jump in here, sister. Isn't this what every woman is waiting for, to meet a doctor? I mean, isn't this a home run, or was it not a home run, and why not?
There's something, it's like social emotional. You tap it into someone's emotions, like, or how are you feeling? Like, how was your day? I think it's important,
So he didn't ask you any of that.
nothing.
Oh wow. Okay.
So he's one of the dudes just trying to hit it. He's just
Yeah,
trying to
they're
get
like, oh,
in
let
there.
me see on video. Let me see you on video.
So I got a
But
question. I got a question. I got a
I
question.
feel like so
Oh.
much better than that. I'm like, what? I'm like, see me on video? Like,
Final word
wow.
on the doctor.
Block, 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 block.
He blocked you, or you blocked him?
I think we blocked each other at this point.
Oh wow. Okay.
Oh, okay.
How important is a man's smell?
I could say that it's definitely essential. I have a girlfriend as of recently who said she has a boyfriend who makes, when she smells them, she feels warm. So I was like, okay. So I think part of that is
Making her
time.
hot.
Yes, she
Yeah.
feels warm. I said, and I've never heard that in my
And
life.
you see, that's why the Mantastic Experience is the podcast that it is. Right now, we're bringing in my man's Kevon Ferguson's. He's going to tell you, gentlemen, how to smell right when you're trying to approach the ladies. Kev, what's good right now?
I went to a Home Goods one time, and they had two ladies follow me around. The lady was like, "Wow, it's you. You smell really good." And she was like, "What's that you got on?" I said, "Oh, Eau du Bois by L'Occitane." And I showed her the list. I said, "You can go to Roosevelt Field, go get it." She said, "Oh, thank you. I'm gonna buy that for my husband because it smells good."
My brother, I gotta ask an honest question. Was she trying to find out about the cologne or about you?
Nah, probably cologne. She was married. She was with her mother. I think maybe her mother-in-law too. So, But
okay, but you will get followed if you wear this.
Yeah.
It's guarantee. Yeah. All right, there it is. Yeah. There it is.
I need to get me a bottle of that. Okay. So I got another one. This one's a designer that most of y'all knows, Tom Ford, Tobacco Oud. This one ranged between 170 and 200 retail. But this is not an easy to wear fragrance. I can say that. That's more of a bad boy smell, you know.
Tell us more about that. What does that mean?
A smell that means your presence is known. You can't be afraid to wear that.
That's bossing right? up.
Basically. Right? So you can either be 007'd out with a, you know, black and tie or leather jacket down with some nice shoes on. But if you're not a person with confidence, this fragrance could wear you.
I'm gonna expose my ignorance here, Kev, right? Because you're educating me here. I've been wearing the same cologne for probably 3 years straight every single day.
And most people do.
Is that a problem? Like break me off. Like, am I doing a faux pas?
Tom Ford is a designer. And there's something called niche fragrances. So niche fragrances are just companies that base on perfumes only. They don't make clothing. They don't make cosmetic wear. They just do perfumes. And some of them are very artistic.
Are you doing point blank range? Pow, pow, pow. Are you back with it? You know what I'm saying? Like a sniper.
I'm point. I'm an oversprayer, but not with everything. So I might do neck, bong, bong, back of the neck. Mm. Depending on how potent the fragrance is.
You go on underarms with it? It's not the order. I get that. I get that. No. All right.
Never do that. Okay. Never do that.
So it's just the neck. We just spray the neck.
Neck, chest. Sometimes your stomach, your solar plex.
Any last advice before we go to the finances?
Tell dudes, don't stink.
This is why we... That's why we got an actual fragrance guy here. You give
the... Yeah, basically, don't stink, and you got a fragrance for everything. You got dress downs, you got stuff that, you know, basically wear suit and tie with.
Thank you, Kev, on fragrances. We're gonna have everybody smell it right and get their game right. And so now, you know, we covered a lot today. So we try to get y'all into a good relationship. Kev's got y'all smelling good. Miss Ming is telling you what the lady's like, but there's a common denominator. At some point, you got to spend some money. That Tom Ford is $200. You got to have your money got to be right.
Let's get into it, man. Absolutely. I think the common denominator, like you said, Mr. GP, is that the money's got to be right, right? Whether you're taking somebody out to Moroccan dinner or you are buying some Tom Ford cologne or some curry smelling cologne.
They should call it Tom Can't Afford Your Cologne. But
you gotta have your pockets right, right? We talked about all that, right? So let's just get into it, man. One thing I can say, you know, we're members of the Black community here in the U.S. And one of the things that I think we are challenged with as a community is what are we actually spending our money on, right? At the end of the day, is it cologne? Is it a new pair of J's? Is it a new car? Is it, or, which at the end of the day are what I would call depreciating assets. So what do I mean by depreciating assets? These are things that when you buy them, they literally immediately start losing their value as you walk out the door. Whether it's a car dealership, you buy an $80,000 car or a $40,000 car, it loses $5,000-$7,000 the minute you pull out the yard, the lot.
It's like the depreciation is crazy. You lose money as soon as you drive off the lot.
No doubt.
So I found that I can get a really, really nice car if I get it used. Meanwhile, at the newer price, can't afford it. Don't think I want to.
Look, at the end of the day, man, you know, some people, they just got money like that. What I'm going to say is that in our community, not enough of us do, right? And so at the end of the day, it's let's make some wise decisions with our money. So are we buying things that are going to lose value over time? Or are we buying things that are going to gain value over time, appreciate in value, like real estate, artwork? And not everything's like that. Some things like the memory is just that important. Some things, sometimes it's just the way you feel in that item, whether it's an article of clothing, it's just that important. You got to make that decision for yourself. But as a community, right, if we are spending a lot of money on things that basically we cannot resell for a higher value amount, then what we're end up doing is we're basically, our money is wasting away. And we got to get to a place when you get your money right, where your money is starting to work for you. It's where you're placing it, where you're investing it, whether it's in real estate, whether it's in your own home, whether it's in an art, a piece of artwork, right, that you came across that's really beautiful and you're going to hang it on the wall. But you know also, if you Google it up 3 years later, it's worth more than what you bought, what you paid for.
We're 9-to-5 brothers. You know, some of us could barely afford to buy lunch more than 2 or 3 days a week now with inflation. So our work ain't happening.
Miss Minga, people, that's called intermittent fasting. Stop laughing, Miss Minga.
Our work ain't happening. What could a brother like me, you know, who's driving, you know, the average car, living in the average place, what can I invest in? You know, I can't run out and buy three properties or painting right now.
No, it's a good question. Listen, the first thing you got to do is, no matter where you are in life, you got to make sure that you're in a position to take at least 10% of your take-home pay and put it into a savings account. Put it in some type of an investment. Now, you start off with a savings account, which is basically just glorified cash, right? It's getting maybe hopefully a little bit more interest. It's a separate account from how you're spending your money in your checking account, writing checks or sending out Zelles or whatever. So that way you don't immediately tap into it. It's setting aside and hopefully you're piling it up. Now, what the experts say is you should have between 3 and 6 months worth of what they call emergency cash before you start going any more high risk with your money.
I know somebody, right? And I mean, he got nothing but maxed out credit cards. Already.
Right.
So what's your advice for him?
You add up all your credit cards. Let's say you got 4 credit cards. They're all maxed out, right? Let's say, right? And you got 4 credit cards. They're all maxed out. But one of them happens to be like a 28% interest rate, which is pretty common right nowadays, right? So one of them is 28. The other two are 24. And then one of them is 21. So you take that 28% credit card.
When you say 28% interest.
Yeah.
Are you saying that if I buy something on a credit card for $100, for every dollar, I'm paying back 28 cents?
So the way it works is, great question, first off, thank you. The way it works is, if you, over the course of a year, that's when you get the full 28% impact, right? So if you buy something for $100 on a credit card, then after a year at a 28% interest rate on the credit card, you're now paying $128 for that item. And here's the thing. The next year, it's not 28% on top of the $100. It's 28% on top of the $128. So it compounds. So it piles up, right?
You can't eat lunch 3 days a week.
So back to the snowball effect. Here's what I'm talking about.
Credit card, no lunch.
On the snowball effect on how you try to pay this thing off, you pay the minimum on your 3 credit cards every month that are the lower interest rate. And you take the one that's the highest interest rate and you pay as much as you can. And you keep doing that until that one is paid off. And maybe you set a budget. Say, look, I'm going to dedicate X number of dollars. Maybe I'm going to dedicate $500 towards paying this credit card debt off. And I'm going to pay $35 to these 3 because that's the minimum, and I'm going to take the rest and pile it on this last credit card that's the highest interest rate until it's paid off. When it's paid off, you still pay $500 a month, but now you pay it against the highest of the other 3 remaining, and that's how you kind of get that thing going. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of discipline because that emergency is going to show up. You know, Christmas is going to come around the corner, birthdays, concert. Here come that Kendrick Lamar concert, and you're going to be like, man, I'm going to go ahead and splurge, get them tickets, and you're right back there, right? So you got to take a lot of discipline. You got to be dead focused on it, and you got to see some victory in getting out of that credit card debt. Because once you get out of that credit card debt, now you can start setting up some savings. Then you can start legging into investments.
My bank, what they do is Because I have good credit, they lend me a certain amount every year with no interest. I have to pay back in a year.
Okay.
So they should think about that too. Yeah, they would give me it's 0%, nothing, but I just have to
Right.
pay it back.
Right.
So it could be like
Right. So
15 grand, 19 grand, but I just have to pay it back in a
hear
year.
me in a hear me in a balance. I'm not, it's not that I don't think borrowing money is good. Actually, I think it's great. And wealthy
So
people
let me get
borrow money.
$100.
Yeah, come on, see?
Wealthy people borrow money all the time. But when they're borrowing money, what they're doing is they're borrowing the money and then they're investing that money into something that's going to appreciate in value.
Appreciate the knowledge, C squared.
Listen, this has been the Mantastic Experience. I hope you got something out of this pod today. We covered a lot of topics from relationships to making you smell good to just being true with yourself. We'll be back with more. So for Professor G, C Squared, Miss Minga, Kev on Fragrance, this is Mr. GP. Until next time, you have just had a Mantastic Experience.